We open the Holy Scriptures to Luke chapter 18. We will begin our reading at verse 31. Read to the end of the chapter. The text will be verses 35 through 43. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Then he took unto him the 12 and said unto them, Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Now begins our text. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And they which went before rebuked him, that he should hold his peace. But he cried, so much the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood, and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee. And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. Here we end our reading of the holy and inspired scriptures. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, the verses which began our scripture reading remind us of where we are in the history of our Lord's life and ministry. You recall that the Gospel of Luke has as one of its unique features an extended record of the last journey of Jesus to Jerusalem before his Passion Week. That is what we have been looking at for quite some time in our series on the Gospel thus far. Well, verses 31 through 34 remind us that Jesus is on this last journey to Jerusalem. He has set himself to go to Jerusalem and there to fulfill the scriptures and to carry out and complete the work given to him by the Father, the work signified by his name, saving his people from their sins. At this time, Jesus is leaving the region of Perea, which region was located to the west of the Jordan River, and he was crossing over the Jordan River. The region of Perea was to the east of Jordan, and Jesus is crossing over the Jordan River now westward toward the ancient city of Jericho. And as he is on his way to Jericho, he explains again to his disciples why he is going to Jerusalem, explaining to them that he, the Son of Man, must be delivered into the hands of sinners and must be put to death, but on the third day he will rise again. And this all according to the scriptures. But this saying was hidden from his disciples. They did not understand or perceive the meaning of it. And so it is here in the neighborhood of Jericho that Jesus would perform two mighty works in which he would again reveal himself as that Savior who came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem to accomplish that work by which he would obtain the salvation for his lost people. And the miracle of the healing of the blind man, which we consider this evening, as well as the calling of Zacchaeus the publican in the beginning of chapter 19, both of these events set before us beautifully the reality of who Jesus is and what he came to do and why he was going to the cross. He was going to the cross to save his people from their sins, to seek and to save the lost. All of Jesus' miracles are visual gospel. That's why they are recorded in the scriptures. They are not only meant to impress us with the power that our Lord Jesus Christ possessed as the Savior, who is both God and man. But more importantly, the miracles are recorded so that we might see the gospel, see the good news. Jesus' miracles of healing show us, allow us to see the spiritual salvation which he accomplishes for us through his death and resurrection. And so the miracle of the healing of the blind man whose name the parallel passage in Mark identifies as Bartimaeus, that miracle of healing, blind Bartimaeus, is a beautiful visual gospel word for us, showing us what the Lord Jesus has done for our souls. And so with eagerness, let us look at this miracle of our Lord and consider it under the theme, receiving sight by faith in Jesus. Receiving sight by faith in Jesus. Let's notice first the miserable blindness, looking at the condition of this man. Secondly, we'll look at the merciful healing given to him. And finally, the marvelous response. Jesus is on the road near the city of Jericho, in the neighborhood of Jericho. And the gospel account brings before us a man who is blind. And the text describes him as sitting by the wayside, begging. Luke's brief description of this man, whose name was Bartimaeus, is meant to convey to us the miserableness of this man's condition. He was blind. And his blindness meant that he lived his life in what we might say is perpetual darkness. For those of us who possess eyesight and take that sense for granted, imagine what it would be like to be unable to see. For the organ of your eyes to not function. To be unable to see the faces of family and friends, those sitting next to you in the sanctuary. To be unable to see your environment, hindered in your interaction with others and the activities of life and all of the other problems and hardships that come with that inability to see. Sight is so very important. God created us with eyes to see, for he is the seeing and the knowing God. Sight is one of the ways that we obtain knowledge, knowledge about our surroundings, knowledge about other persons. Sight is part of communication and fellowship. When we spend time with family and friends, we want to see them. In fact, we often use that as a synonym for fellowship. I'm going to see my friend or see my family. We see their face. We look into their eyes. And their face and their eyes are, as it were, a reflection of their souls. What is going on in their hearts. Sight is so important. And that is what this man lacked. He was blind. He lived in all-encompassing and life-dominating darkness. Day in and day out, he sat in darkness. And that darkness isolated him, separated him from his fellow men, disrupted fellowship, in fact, put him on the very margins of the covenant community in that day. Bartimaeus was probably a man who had very few friends, very few people to care for him. In fact, that's why we find him begging. He sat by the wayside, day after day, begging. In that day, people who were crippled with such disabilities as blindness or lameness or deafness or other such disabilities would find it difficult to keep a job or to ply a trade. They would be dependent upon the charity of others, and that charity was often in short supply. They had to beg. They were poor. Their begging more often met with scorn than it did with charity. A big part of that was the false religious teaching of the scribes and Pharisees that prevailed in that day and which had taken root in the hearts of the Jews at that time. The false religious teaching that said That man who is blind or that man who is lame, the reason they have that affliction is because they've sinned greatly, or at very least their parents have sinned greatly, and this is the judgment of God upon them. And so if you see that blind man, you see that lame man, you're looking at a wretched sinner. And that false religious teaching prevailed among the Jews such that most people looked down and scorned and didn't want to help poor beggars, blind men, such as Bartimaeus. So we get a sense, even if we cannot fully imagine what it would be like, we can get a sense of this man's misery. And if you have a family member who is lost or is suffering from diminished eyesight, you can get a better sense of the hardship, the misery that blindness brings into the life of a person. Well, this physical blindness, like leprosy, like lameness, like the other physical disabilities that we find on the pages of Scripture, all of these are used as pictures for the sinner's natural spiritual condition. And so in Bartimaeus, and in his miserable condition, we see a reflection of us, what we are by nature, as well as the sinful flesh that still cleaves to us as regenerated children of God. The Scripture makes clear that spiritual blindness is, or rather, physical blindness is a picture of spiritual blindness. The inability of the fallen man to see, truly to see, and to understand spiritual things, to discern spiritual things, to attain to true, saving spiritual knowledge. Scriptures describe our fallen condition as darkness and blindness, and describe the saving work of the promised Messiah as opening the eyes of the blind. For example, Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 7. In Isaiah 42, verses 6 through 7, we have this beautiful prophecy of Jesus Christ, and his work, in part, is described as restoring sight to the blind. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. There, the prophet Isaiah is speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one given for a covenant of the people. He is the light of the world, the light to the Gentiles. And now, this is his work, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. That's Bartimaeus, is it not? From a physical point of view, sitting there by the wayside, his blind eyes not seeing the light, shrouded in darkness. It was as though he was in a prison. Everywhere he went, he was in the prison of his own darkness. And that's the sinner. That's you and me by nature. Lost in the dark, sitting in the dark. Blind, unable to see the light, unable to arrive at the true knowledge, true saving knowledge of God. We are prisoners of the darkness with no possible way to make ourselves see or to get out of the prison of that darkness. That's man. That's you and me in our natural condition. That's what we are by nature. But even after the marvelous operation of saving grace that we call regeneration, which brings to us the gift of faith, faith which is the spiritual eyes of the soul. Even after that, we still struggle with that blindness because we have our sinful flesh, and our sinful flesh is always trying to cast a veil over the eyes of our understanding to plunge us back into that darkness. When we sin, we so often resort to that old blindness. We refuse to see our sin. We refuse to see God's law. We return to the dark and delight in the works of darkness. The sinner is spiritually blind. But now, the glorious truth that Isaiah 42, verses 6 and 7 sets before us is that the Messiah was sent to open the eyes of the blind, to open the blind eyes of his elect people. And that Messiah is Jesus Christ. And we find Jesus Christ doing that very work here in the text. literally opening the blind eyes of this man, picturing the opening and the giving of spiritual sight to his people through his saving grace. The Messiah came to seek and to save the lost. And that's why we find Jesus on that road, passing through Jericho. He was on his way to Jerusalem and to Calvary, where he would die for the sins of his people. But Jesus was intentional in everything that he did, also came by the Jericho road because one of his children was there, who he would meet, and whose eyes he would open, who he would gather into the company of his disciples. That miserable blind man sitting by the wayside begging, Bartimaeus. And so the text describes the scene as it unfolds now. And now we're going to move to look at the meeting of Jesus and Bartimaeus and the cry for mercy that blind Bartimaeus cries out to Jesus. Verses 36 through 38. And hearing the multitude pass by, he asked what it meant. And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he cried, saying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. The blind man's keen hearing detects the heavy shuffling of many footsteps. You can imagine that Bartimaeus probably had sharp ears. That's often the case. Someone loses one sense, the other senses become all the more acute. And so Bartimaeus hears the sound afar off, and before he knows it, there, he can tell, is a huge crowd passing him by on the road. He hears many voices talking excitedly. He can tell this is much more than the standard or ordinary party of pilgrims on their way to Jerusalem for Passover. And so blind Bartimaeus raises his voice and asks the passersby, what's happening? What does this mean? And whoever could be bothered to answer him lets him know exactly what is happening. Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He knew that name. He knew it. He had heard that teacher, that preacher who taught with authority, not as the scribes and Pharisees. He had heard of his fame, which had spread like wildfire throughout the region of Galilee and down into Judea. He had heard about this Jesus, this great prophet who had healed the sick and even healed others who were afflicted with blindness. How you can imagine his thoughts racing, excitement growing in his heart. This Jesus was passing by. And so this man does the only thing that he can do. He cries out for mercy. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. First, he's rebuffed by the crowd. His cries for mercy receive a merciless rebuttal from the crowd. They tell him to be quiet. They don't want to listen to this beggar. They don't care about him. Hold your peace. Get lost. The text says he cries all the more. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. Let's look at that cry of Bartimaeus a moment and unpack its significance, for there's a lot packed into that cry. It's a cry of faith. It's a cry of faith. We see that in the first place. It's a personal confession of faith in Jesus Christ. This is the speech of faith. The man who knows his need cries out to Jesus Christ. And his cry is, Lord, have mercy upon me. That's the language of faith. In crying, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, Bartimaeus is saying something. He's saying something both about himself and about Jesus Christ. About himself, he's confessing his own unworthiness. The fact that he doesn't deserve anything from Jesus. His cry is an acknowledgement that he is nothing in himself. He has nothing to offer to Jesus. There's nothing about him that's going to draw Jesus from what he's doing, where he's going. He's just a blind, wretched beggar on the side of the road who can only cry, have mercy upon me. one who is unworthy. That's the language of faith. Furthermore, about himself, he confesses how powerless he is to help himself. He is a blind beggar. He can do nothing to relieve his own misery. That's the sinner. The sinner who is unworthy, and the sinner who can do nothing to free himself from his sins and the darkness of his sins and the blindness of his sins and the condemnation his sins deserve. Bartimaeus confesses, "I'm powerless. Thus all I can do is cry, 'Have mercy upon me.'" Confession of faith in Jesus. And with that confession of faith is that beautiful plea, "Have mercy." Mercy, which is so very beautiful. Mercy. Mercy is three things. We can think of it this way. Mercy is a divine attribute, a divine attitude, and a divine activity. Mercy is one of God's perfections, one of His attributes. God is mercy in the same way that God is love. It's a perfection of His being. And it means that God within Himself seeks and delights in His own blessedness, the blessedness of His shared covenantal life among the three persons of the Trinity. God is mercy in Himself. And because God is mercy in Himself, He is the merciful God toward His people. This attribute of God means He has an attitude of mercy towards His people. Mercy as an attitude means kindness, compassion upon the miserable in their suffering, and a willingness, a desire to lift them from that suffering and cause them to taste blessedness. And that's where the activity comes in. The divine attitude of mercy, the divine attitude of compassion translates into divine action. God is merciful towards His people and then takes merciful action. He actually lifts them out of their misery. He shows them compassion. He causes them to taste His blessedness. God is mercy. He is merciful, and therefore He lavishes mercy upon His people. We know Bartimaeus' faith, small, weak, no doubt riddled with many misconceptions and wrong ideas current in his day, but it was true faith. And he had some conception of this mercy of God. And so he calls out to Christ and says, "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And that's amazing. He calls Jesus to show him mercy. The kind of mercy, the powerful kind of mercy that only God can show. Mercy that would take away his blindness. Mercy that would heal him. That kind of mercy, he calls upon Jesus, "Have that mercy upon me." And that leads us to the third thing to see about Bartimaeus' confession, or Bartimaeus' cry. We saw that it was a confession of faith in Jesus in which he cries for mercy, but now we get to the heart of it. In Bartimaeus' cry for mercy, he makes clear that he believes that Jesus is none other than the Messiah, the Christ of God. Again, his faith was weak. His faith was riddled undoubtedly with misconceptions and wrong ideas, but it was a true faith. Bartimaeus had a true, simple faith. By the work of the Spirit in his heart, he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the Lord Jesus Christ with the eyes of faith and saw him for who he was, the Christ of God. And the proof for that in the text comes out in the name that Bartimaeus uses when he addresses Christ. "Jesus, Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me." That's significant. Notice, that's not the name the crowd used. When he asked the passers-by, "What's going on?" they said, "Jesus of Nazareth passes by." That is, Jesus, and there were many Jesuses in the land of Palestine at that time. The name Jesus is the Hebrew name Joshua. And so they said, "Joshua from Nazareth." That's how they distinguished him from perhaps other Joshuas that were in the area. He was the one from Nazareth. That didn't say much. But that's not what Bartimaeus That's not how Bartimaeus refers to Jesus, is it? Not the Jesus from Nazareth, but the Jesus who is the Son of David. And even more strongly than that, thou Son of David. Bartimaeus singles Jesus out as someone entirely unique. He is the unique Son of David. This is who Bartimaeus believes Jesus to be, the Son of David. And that name, Son of David, is a messianic name. The Jews understood it to be such, for the Old Testament scriptures prophesied that the Messiah would be of the seed of David, would come from the royal line of David, would be a king who would sit upon David's throne and hold David's scepter, and who would establish a kingdom of peace and true prosperity. Son of David is a messianic title. Remember when Herod was looking for the king of the Jews, he asked the scribes and the Pharisees, where will the Messiah be, where will the king be born? And they said, in Bethlehem, David's city. Remember Matthew 22, verse 42, when the scribes and Pharisees were disputing with Jesus, and Jesus said to them, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? And they all answered, without missing a beat, the Son of David. Bartimaeus believes that this Jesus passing by is none other than the Messiah, the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies, the Savior come to save his people. And though his faith was imperfect and riddled with all of those weaknesses, it is from that good root of faith that this cry issues forth, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. Faith cannot keep silent, but must confess and cry out to the only one that can satisfy it, Christ. And so we've seen the situation unfold. Blind Bartimaeus has cried out to Jesus Christ. Now we come to the merciful healing that our Lord performs for him. Bartimaeus' persistent cry for mercy, while rebuffed by the merciless men in the crowd around Jesus, was heard by the merciful Savior. He was heard, and he was given a merciful healing. First, Jesus speaks to Bartimaeus. Jesus halts and commands that Bartimaeus be brought to him. Proceeding on in the text, we come to verse 40 now. Verse 40. And Jesus stood and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? There's something beautiful in how Jesus acts here. He stops. He stands still, literally. Jesus stood. Notice the contrast between the crowd around him who had no time for this beggar, didn't care one whit about him. But when Jesus hears that cry of faith issuing from that miserable beggar at the side of the road, he stops, he stands still, he gives his attention to this man. There's a beautiful application there. Your exalted intercessor, your only high priest, your Lord and Savior. That's how seriously he takes the cries of his people. He stands still, if we may speak that way, and gives ear and hears. Let us never think that Jesus is like a passerby who can't be bothered with the cries of his people. He's engaged in too much other more important things in the heavenly sanctuary. No, he hears. You see that with Bartimaeus here. He stands still, and then he commands that Bartimaeus be brought to him. The very men who were rebuffing him, telling him to be quiet, are now sent to give this blind man a hand, pick him up, and bring him to Jesus. This man who everyone wrote off, who everyone didn't care about, He is brought before the Lord Jesus. And Jesus now in verse 41 asks him, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" Bartimaeus answers, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." And so there is this beautiful dialogue, short, simple as it is, between the needy believer and the all-sufficient Savior. We see the mercy of Christ here. The mercy of Christ on display. He stops. He has that poor blind beggar brought to him. He speaks to him kindly. "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" We might wonder, why would Jesus ask that? Jesus knew, of course, what Bartimaeus sought. It was patently obvious that this man who was blind would seek, perhaps, to have his sight restored. Jesus had his reasons. First would be to impress upon Bartimaeus his consciousness, his own need and powerlessness. Jesus says, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" That which Bartimaeus seeks is something that only he, Jesus, the Son of David, can perform for him. Another reason is to draw out this man's faith, that it may be manifest before all there gathered, and that by giving an answer, he would again confess his faith and declare before men who Jesus is. But another reason is simply that Jesus is pleased to have this man ask him to make known his needs and his desires. That's how God deals with his people. He doesn't deal with his people as robots or as stones. He deals with us as a father deals with his children. Though he knows all, he desires that we ask of him the things of which we have need. He desires to hear our cries for mercy and help. Not because his help and mercy depends on our crying for it. Not because our crying for it is what earns it. Of course not. Our loving Father sovereignly and graciously bestows it. But he's our Father. We are his children. He desires that we ask of him. And we see that here in our compassionate Savior. He desires that Bartimaeus ask of him. And ask he does. "Lord, that I may receive my sight." There we see Bartimaeus' faith, that Spirit-wrought faith. "Lord." An acknowledgement of authority. An acknowledgement of power. That the Lord Jesus, whom he asks for mercy, is one who is able to deliver that mercy. One who has authority and power to command his blindness to depart from his eyes. And that's the mercy that Bartimaeus seeks. That he may receive his sight. That the darkness may be lifted. That he might see the faces of his fellow men again. Most especially the face of his Savior and fellowship with his Savior. Above all, he desired to see Jesus, that Son of David, that promised Messiah whom he confessed. That was his greatest desire, to see and to fellowship with Jesus. And that is the greatest desire of every child of God. Sin blinds us. The darkness of sin blinds us. The desire of the child of God is by faith to see the face of Jesus. So for Bartimaeus, receiving his sight was a means to a greater end. It was the means to seeing the face of his Lord and Savior. Well, in answer to Bartimaeus' cry, Jesus works that powerful healing miracle, opening the eyes of the blind. That work which Isaiah the prophet proclaimed would be a telltale sign that the Messiah was here and that the Messiah was performing his work. Jesus performs it once again there at the road outside of Jericho. He opens Bartimaeus' eyes. Verses 42 and 43. Jesus said, said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. And immediately he received his sight. Immediately. In a moment. Parallel text, Matthew 20, verse 34, fills out some of the details. Matthew 20 tells us that Jesus had compassion upon him, and that Jesus, as he speaks those words, receive thy sight, also reached forth his hand and touched Bartimaeus' eyes as an expression of that compassion. And immediately, at the word of Christ, the darkness was lifted, the eyes of the blind man were opened, and he saw the road, he saw the trees, he saw the sunshine, he saw the awestruck faces of the crowd gathered around him, and he saw the face of Jesus Christ. His Savior, face of the merciful High Priest, who was on his way to the cross to secure the salvation of Bartimaeus and every other elect child of God, the compassionate High Priest, who stopped along the way to heal this poor blind man and give him that beautiful sign and picture of the gospel of grace. This is what the Lord Jesus does for you. This is what the Lord Jesus does for all of His people. He opens the eyes of the blind. He dispels our darkness. He brings us out of the prison house of our black, dark sins. He gives us the true spiritual vision of faith by which we behold Him and have fellowship with Him and abide with Him and rest in Him. This powerful, instantaneous healing that the Lord Jesus works demonstrates His compassion and His power to save. And that power to save is highlighted by a word. And immediately, this man is healed. With the words, Receive thy sight. Just as in the beginning, God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Jesus said, Receive thy sight. And there was sight. That's the power of Christ. The power of Christ to save. That was the power that was brought to bear upon Bartimaeus. And that's the power that had worked faith in Bartimaeus' heart in the beginning. That's the power of salvation. Works faith in your hearts and mine. That's the power of grace that carries us, sustains us, saves us to the uttermost. Before we see the marvelous response to this beautiful healing, there's a few doctrinal implications of this merciful healing that I'd like to trace out. Something very interesting when you read this text, as well as other miracles of our Lord Jesus, that interesting thing is that the great doctrines of the Reformation simply leap off the pages of the Scripture. Here I want to point out how the five solas of the Reformation, as they are called, that is, the five onlys of the Reformation, can be found right here in the healing of blind Bartimaeus. If you remember from your church history or from your reading, the five onlys or solas of the Reformation were Scripture alone, grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. We know God savingly through the Scriptures alone. We are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. All five of those Reformation solas leap off the page. Scripture alone. Admittedly, this one might be a little less clear. But notice, by what means Jesus heals Bartimaeus? His word. He speaks, receive thy sight. That's how God works. That's how He worked at the beginning, through His Word. And Jesus Himself is the Word made flesh, and it is by the power of the Word made flesh that this man is healed. By the Word, Bartimaeus is healed. And it is by the Word that his blindness is taken away and that he sees. And that teaches us a very important truth. It is by the Word of God that we see. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Faith. Faith is the spiritual eyesight of the soul. It is by faith that we see and know and understand and discern spiritual truth. And that spiritual truth is found in the Word of God. And so we have implied here at very least sola scriptura, by Scripture alone. We know God through His Word. And God works and operates upon us by His Holy Spirit using the means of His Word. Scripture alone. Grace alone. We are saved by grace alone. And that doctrine of the Reformation comes to the foreground here, does it not? Remember who Bartimaeus is? That blind beggar who is a picture of the unworthy sinner who can do nothing to save himself, who is powerless. There is no quality in Bartimaeus that would draw Jesus to him. There is nothing in Bartimaeus that made him a good candidate for healing. So too, all of us sinners. We are just like Bartimaeus from a spiritual perspective. We're not worthy. There's nothing in us that makes us stick out in the crowd or the mass of common humanity. We are sinners deserving of nothing from God. We are powerless to do anything to better our spiritual condition. And yet, we are saved how? By sovereign, wonderful grace. Jesus' healing of Bartimaeus, Jesus restoring to him his sight, was an act of pure mercy and grace. It was a gracious healing. Jesus didn't have to do it. Jesus didn't owe Bartimaeus anything. What's the explanation? None other than the grace of God, the mercy of Christ. By grace alone, Bartimaeus received his sight. By grace alone, you and me receive every spiritual blessing of salvation. Scripture alone, grace alone. And then there's the third Reformation sola. By faith alone, we are saved by grace alone through faith alone. And that comes to the foreground in the text as well, does it not? Jesus himself puts emphasis on this when he says, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." Bartimaeus received the restoration of his sight. He received his sight by means of faith. Not faith and something else. Jesus doesn't say, "Thy faith and this or that hath saved thee," but "thy faith has saved thee." By faith alone. Now, we must understand what Jesus means when he says, "Thy faith has saved thee." Jesus isn't saying, "Thy faith is the power that has accomplished your salvation." Jesus isn't saying, "Your faith is some meritorious work that earns with God." The power by which Bartimaeus received his sight was the power of Christ. If faith itself was the power, Bartimaeus' eyesight would have been restored to him as soon as he believed. Faith doesn't have any power of itself. Faith is the God-ordained and God-designed instrument by which we receive the blessings of Christ. Faith connects us to Christ. Faith is the means by which we lay hold of Him. We receive from Him by faith. And that's what happens here. It's the power of Christ, and that power alone, that restores Bartimaeus' sight. But it is by faith that he receives that healing from Christ. Bartimaeus received and enjoyed the benefits of Christ's mercy by faith and by faith alone. And so there we see that this Reformation doctrine of by faith alone, it's thoroughly rooted in the Scriptures. And it's not just a dogmatic teaching of the Apostle Paul. It comes out in the very life and ministry of Jesus Christ. Here we have visual gospel. The visual gospel of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone. And now fourth, in Christ alone. Faith has one object. The object is not man. The object is not what I'm able to perform. The object is Christ and Christ alone. And we see that here. To whom is all of the faith of Bartimaeus directed? To whom does Bartimaeus cry? To whom does Bartimaeus look for mercy and healing? Christ. And it is Christ that says, receive thy sight. And it is by the power of Christ that his sight is restored. So it is in salvation. The object of our faith is none other than Jesus Christ, because he is the perfect and complete Savior who accomplishes everything necessary for our salvation. And all who would be saved must find in him all things necessary for salvation. Christ alone. It's right here in the text. And then the last of those five Reformation solas is the capstone to the glory of God alone. And that's the transition into the third point. Because that's what this miracle led to, is it not? That's what this miracle was all about. That's the outcome. That's the marvelous outcome, the marvelous response. That glory was given to God. Bartimaeus was healed because Jesus had mercy on him. But the greatest, the ultimate goal of that mercy and grace was the glory of God. Scripture teaches that the grand purpose of God in all things is the praise of his glorious grace. And that was the outcome of the healing of blind Bartimaeus, the praise of his glorious grace. God is glorified when his grace works in the hearts of his children, so that consciously and from the heart they erupt praise and thanks. That's what Bartimaeus did. That's the marvelous response. Verse 43. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise unto God. The result was glory to God. Let's notice briefly the two elements, the two parts of Bartimaeus' marvelous response to the healing he received. This is faith's response to salvation. First, he followed him. That's what the believer must do. The believer who receives salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, to the glory of God alone, must follow Christ. This means much more than Bartimaeus joined the excited crowd and went through Jericho telling people about what happened. He surely did that. But that Bartimaeus followed Jesus means he joined himself to the number of his disciples. He followed. He saw Jesus as his Lord and Master, and he became his disciple, a follower, a man who learned from Jesus, sat under Jesus, sought to imitate Jesus. That's what a follower of Jesus is. A man who surrenders himself to the Lord. A follower of Jesus follows by obeying his commandments, learning his word, striving with all that he is to pattern his life after the teaching of his Lord. Discipleship and obedience is the thankful response of the saved believer. And that was the marvelous response of Bartimaeus. He followed. And as he followed, what does he do? He glorifies God. He followed him, glorifying God all the way. Certainly, Bartimaeus joined the crowd and followed Jesus into Jericho and through Jericho, all the while singing praises to God and glorifying him. But the significance is more than that. That was the rest of Bartimaeus' life. Following and glorifying Christ. That's the Christian life. That's the only life the saved sinner may, must live following and glorifying. And that's our conscious goal in following and obeying, glorifying. You have the two parts of thankfulness here. Two parts explained in the catechism. Obedience and prayer. Service and worship. Following and glorifying. And so, beloved, as those who have received the spiritual blessings pictured here in the visual gospel of the text, as those who, by the grace of God, have had the eyes of our hearts opened, who have been given true faith, who have been blessed with all spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ, let us be stirred up to have the same marvelous response as Bartimaeus did. To follow in glad obedience, joyful thanksgiving, all the while glorifying and praising the God of our salvation. That is the chief end of man, to glorify Him, to glorify His God, and to enjoy Him forever. Amen. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the visual gospel that we see in this miracle of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the healing of blind Bartimaeus, we see a picture of our spiritual salvation through Jesus Christ. For as Jesus Christ restored sight to that blind man, so too by His gracious work, He has restored spiritual vision and spiritual life to us. He has taken away our darkness, given us true knowledge of Thee, and brought us into saving fellowship with Thee. Grant that Thy word may strengthen our faith, that daily we may walk by faith, following our Lord, joyfully bearing our crosses, and glorifying Thee all the way to heavenly glory. Hear us in mercy. Bless Thy word unto us for Jesus' sake. Amen.